Good morning. I am certainly glad, again, to see everybody here. Good-looking people. Yeah. Good-looking choir. Good-looking speaker. Anyway, yeah, Pastor's thanking me for that. Well, we've had a wonderful weekend here. I wanted to report, yesterday morning we had the little get-together. Our men's breakfast became an all-congregation breakfast. We had some wonderful blueberry pancakes, and that was by surprise. We weren't going to do blueberry pancakes, and then I saw blueberries on sale, and we got some blueberries, and my wife cut them up, and they put them in the batter, and I guess it was pretty good. So anyway, I want to report, we had we took a collection for the mission out there. Yesterday, we collected $504, able to send it to them. But since today, I've been given another $170, so our total was $674 that we are able to send out to the mission out there. So that's wonderful. We thank you, and thank the Lord for your generosity. Just a few other announcements for this week. One is, this week is Prime Timers, Bob. There's a story behind that. Bob and I were together at the McDonald's on Wednesday morning, and I said, "You going to Prime Timers today, Bob?" And he said, "Is that today?" And I said, "Well, sure it is." So Bob came to Prime Timers, and it was just him and I. So... actually, he came and left before I ever got here. But anyway, it is this week. It will be still doing a white elephant exchange. If you want to take part in it, they have a white elephant exchange. The meal, I think, is going to be ham. So let Donna know if you might like to be a part of that, or Sandy Hammond, I think, helps her with that a lot. And so it's awful good food and awful good time. And be a part of that if you possibly can. Then we just incorporate prayer meeting right into that. Doesn't take very awfully long. Then this week you have an opportunity to share this wonderful congregation, this wonderful congregation, this beautiful choir with other people. Invite them to the cantata. Invite people. We'd like to see this whole thing filled up for the cantata. Here, people come and hear this singing. So take the time, do that, and let them know. There'll be a little fellowship time after that, cookies and punch and that sort of thing. But we want you to do that. The other thing I want to do is thank everybody that helped in the Christmas in the Park. Life in Christ Fellowship was well represented as volunteers for that event, and so we had people cooking hot dogs, we had people serving food, we had people helping with the crafts, and so whatever you did, it was appreciated by the community, and we do thank you for helping get our who we are out, for one thing, but sharing in the community in that effort to enjoy the Christmas season. And joy is what we're going to talk about today. First of all, I want you to just look at your neighbor, the person next to you, and just tell them how happy you are to see them today. Yeah. Donna? Is that Donna? We're happy to see you, honey. Who else is on there? Is that it right now? Kelly, we're happy to see you. Anybody else on there? Jim, we're happy to see you. Good to have you with us today. So, God. Maxine sitting back there by herself. We're good to see you. So, all right. Well, we're going to do our Advent reading this time, and this is the candle of joy. We see that the three candles have been lit. That of, what we're doing here, peace, the hope, love, and joy, peace next week. So, is that up, do they have the reading up or is it just in the bulletin this week, the reading? Okay. The Christmas carol rings out, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King." The candles of hope, love, and joy are now lit on our Advent wreath. Christmas is meant to be a joyous season, not because of the gifts, the festivities, and the decorations that express Christmas joy, but because the Redeemer, the King, has come. Receive Him, and you will experience real joy. And it happened. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Heavenly Father, may we, as the child inside of Elizabeth, have joy at the sound of our Lord Jesus Christ in his coming as we celebrate his first advent. And Lord, as we look forward to that time you'll come again, may we receive him with joy. In your name we pray. Amen.
Morning. Good to see you. Let's stand this morning, shall we? Sing a few Christmas carols.
Oh, Morning, everyone. What's God been doing in your life this week? Who wants to share?
Some of you already know this because I've been showing the pictures, but my granddaughter graduated from Wright State University yesterday with her bachelor's. We were so excited about that. My husband, he's standing up there, Dickie, stop. He'll be 81 Tuesday.
I was just telling, I'm going to mention to the people on brass this morning a memory of how old I am, and that I remember Jack Wurtzen opening all of his shows from New York with a happy bugler and so forth. Enjoyed it.
People waving at me all over the place. Church isn't over. I don't know where you're going.
I've had a lot of fun this past week sharing Christmas with my students. I think I've shared that it's a public charter school, and most of the children are Muslims. And so I take every advantage that I can. Christopher Columbus, we talked how he was a Christian looking for Jesus' other sheep, and Thanksgiving, the pilgrims were Christian and all that. So I, with all my classes from kindergarten through fourth grade, heard the story of Jesus as told in the Bible, and the angel appearing to Mary and telling her, and I made it clear that Jesus was coming down from heaven. I mean, I'm not going to go into, too many details with young children like that, but I want to make it clear that it's God, it wasn't Mary and Joseph having a baby in that sense, that they needed to hear. And I got to tell them how the angels told the shepherds and they came to find him, and then the wise men. And it's amazing when I have what we call candy-worthy questions, how closely they listen. But I was absolutely thrilled. I had told them how the wise men, or kings, whatever you want to call them, they had brought presents to Jesus. And then one of my questions was, why? Because I was talking about, even I said, this is a national holiday, even though if you don't personally celebrate it, the rest of the country is, and you should just know that, And so I said, well, why do we give gifts to each other? And I even said, what happened on the day Jesus was born, whatever. I'm just wanting them to say, well, the wise men brought presents to Jesus. That's why we do presents. I was totally thrilled when a couple of my fourth graders, and one in each class, one of them said, because Jesus was the greatest gift, because Jesus is a gift to us. And I went, yes, I'll take that. that's great. That's even better than what I was thinking. And the other one said, because Jesus is going to be giving gifts to us. And it's just like, wow, to hear that out of their little mouths, even though I'm not being foolish, I know they don't believe that yet, but they've got the concept, and God can work on that in their heart. So I've had a great week. So sharing Christmas with my students. Wait till Easter week. We'll see what I could do. So.
This is a prayer and a praise, and my parents are pretty private people, and they're always like, oh, we're fine, you don't need to put us on a prayer list, but I got permission yesterday to talk about it. So my dad fell a few weeks ago. He's 87, and he likes to walk every day, so he's staying in good health, but he's has some balance problems. So he'd had a lot of pain, and then last Sunday he got a fever and chills. So they took him into the hospital. It turns out he has an abscess on his heart valve that has bacteria in it. It was getting in his bloodstream. So he showed amazing improvement. It's out of his bloodstream now. The piece in his heart will never go away without surgery, and he's too old. They feel like it would mess him up. He also has dementia, and if you talk to him, you probably wouldn't know it right off the bat, but he gets really confused when my mom's not there, so that's been a concern. So they're thinking he'll get out Monday. Everyone was worried, where are they gonna send him, what's gonna happen? And through prayer and it would be too long to tell you. My mom told us yesterday that she felt at peace. She and my dad talked, he was alert when they talked about this, and made the decision together, so he's gonna go into skilled care. She's right across the street. She's scared to drive, especially in the winter, so she can walk over. So it seemed like an answer to prayer. So.
I want to thank you all for praying for Nathan. He's back home again with his wife and family. So thank you for your prayers. And I also have a pet prayer request. I know it's silly to some people maybe to pray for your pets, but I don't. I believe God gave us pets. He created the animals, so why not give them prayer when they need it? So that's where Steve is this morning with our cat. But this cat is very unique. We lost a cat years ago, and Steve was so close to this cat. He felt really devastated when the cat died. And so he was praying to God to give us another cat similar to the one we lost. And maybe silly to you, but not to God, because one night coming out of choir practice on a Thursday night, Ray DeWalt approached Steve and I and said, "Would we like a cat? It's been hanging out here at church." They'd been feeding it for 2 weeks. So I said, "Well," I asked Steve, "would you want to look at the cat? But where's the cat? We couldn't see it." So Ray called the cat and it came, and Ray picked it up and showed us, and we took Elmo the Third home. I said, "Maybe we should name this cat Elmo the Third, because that might be a sign that Elmo first, second, and now third." So poor Elmo's in the vet right now. They're checking him out. He's been there since 9:30 last night. And they do have a 24-hour vet place off of Treview there, past Walmart, if any of you need to take your pet. So they're checking poor little Elmo out now, but he was having trouble going to the bathroom. That's not pleasant. So, and he had a fever of 104, and cats usually run about 100 or so. So just pray for little Elmo, because, you know, I know Steve would be devastated again if he lost this Elmo. So again, we believe in miracles, right? So
you know that Stacy Curry is the first Elmo, don't you? So that's his actual name.
I just wanted to kind of give an update here. I had my retina appointment on Tuesday, and my doctor didn't tell me, he let the assistant tell me that he had nicked an artery in my eye when he gave me my injection, and so my eye was just like totally red. It's looking a little bit better today, but it was, you know, it wasn't the first time that it ever happened, but this was probably the worst it's been, but it's fine. And then Thursday I had my cataract evaluation, and that was long, several hours long, but I have that scheduled for surgery on the 29th of December, and so we're just trying to move forward with these things. I guess my prayer request is that I am a preschool teacher, and I guess you're not supposed to bend down or pick up after the surgery, so I need to have an understanding workplace as I approach them tomorrow with the fact that I need this, I need some time off, and that's all got to come together. And I have some days, but I don't have enough to, you know, I don't know how long really I should expect. But I do know that as a preschool teacher, I bend down pretty much all day long. And I pick up kids and things like that. So I just need, I guess, some understanding and some opportunity to approach that from the right way, and that they'll be receptive to that. So thank you.
I just wanted to follow up. Like Russ said, we worked at the park all weekend, and we never know whose lives we're going to touch. And I was hoping Chris Harder would be here this morning, but at the kids' craft table, we had a lady that looked at us and said, "Wow, do we know you guys from somewhere?" And, you know, we're like, "No, you know," and we told them our names. She still didn't know us. And then all of a sudden, I looked down at the little boy, and I said, "Did you ever go to MOPS at Life in Christ?" And she went, "Yes, you guys have such a great program there." So you never know, you know, who you're going to run into out there that you might have crossed already. So that was a good praise. Good.
I ask prayer. My daughter, her best friend was found dead yesterday, and this young man was very close to our family. He has a young daughter that's 15, and he's a single father, and they don't know what's going to happen with her. So I'm just ask for your prayers for this family.
Okay, so I was going to give a follow-up for my last one because I didn't really talk about the appointment. So it didn't go as quite as I hoped, but they gave me like a medication that will probably take 6 months to see if it really works. But a small praise is that since taking it for this past month, I've gotten like about 1 to 2 hours with no pain, which is really good for like a whole day's worth. And I think God has really been providing for me, because those around me have been really like gracious, and they've gotten like things to help me that seem to be helping. So this is a praise. Good.
Yes, I would just like praise my neighbor girl. She's 21 years old. She has seizures. She's lost her mom last year. These are both of her adopted parents. And yesterday, she had just lost her dad on the surgery table. He had an aneurysm, and when they went in to put him to sleep, and when they cut him open, he just passed. And I also would like to pray for my mother-in-law, Kelly. She had just lost a friend yesterday as well. She met her through prison, and they became friends. And she was just a young lady, and she went through, got herself clean and off drugs, and ended up with cancer, and she passed yesterday. So I also would like some unspoken prayers, and God knows those. So just keep us in prayer. Thank you so much.
Hey, let's pray. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning, for being with us. You've heard all these different requests for family, for friends, for surgeries, for procedures, for those who have had ones that have passed away and wondering how they're going to handle this and what's going to be next and, you know, what should they do. And we just pray that they just turn to you. Pray that those who know you can be an encouragement to them, that your Holy Spirit would speak to them. Be with them, Lord. Be with those who are in pain today. Thank you for Alex for the medication that they're giving her, that it's starting to work. Pray that it continues to work, Lord, and for families being reunited, Lord, going back to where they should be, and for even for the pets you give us to comfort us, Lord. We just pray for Steve this morning as well, and for all those that are wondering what's happening in this life and what's next, and for the losses that we have. But we know, Lord, even those losses, we can have joy in you, because it's not based on our circumstances, but it's based on our God. So we ask, Lord, today that be with those who are struggling. We pray for Tina after her surgery. And pray for the Roushes who are not here this morning, and those others that are not here, Chris Harder and other ones that are not here this morning, that you be with them as well. Be with those who are across the miles, those who couldn't make it that are Zooming with us, and those who are in Florida and different places. Pray be with them, Lord. Those who may be sick this morning, that you would help them as well. And, Father, we just ask for your guidance and your direction. Thanks for who you are. Thanks for what you've done for us and through your Son. Thank you for allowing us to be witnesses for you and giving us strength when we think we can't go on. Thank you for the results that we're looking forward to, that you've already known what's going to happen and that you're providing. And just pray for your peace today in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
to think about communion this morning. You know, we've talked all different times about tonight Jesus was betrayed, that he had supper with his friends, and we think about what communion means to us. Sometimes we think it's just about asking God to forgive us so we can have the juice and the bread. But it's about a relationship, isn't it? It's about what he did for us, our communing with him, and that time when we come together and think about what he's done for us. You know, he says, do this in remembrance of me, so we're supposed to do it to remember what he did for us. That he went on that cross and he died for us, went through the suffering that he went through. If you haven't ever looked at that, look at that sometime to see what happened to him. It happened to his body and all those things when they did the beating with the cat of nine tails and the instruments they used and all the things that he had and the blood that he lost and all those things that happened. That it wasn't just he jumped on the cross and died and that was it. But to feel that betrayal, you know, from friends and those who were around that he thought were going to support him, and then they're jeering at him, you know, crucify him and all things he went through. But we're going to talk about this morning, it was for the joy set before him, because he knew what was coming, but he had to go through it. And, you know, we go through circumstances like that ourselves for the joy set before us. Hard times, but we know in the end it's going to be okay. And we see that, you know, with surgeries and all those kinds of things that happen, you know, for the joy set before us, what's going to happen. But for communion this morning, we're going to share together just as they did. We're not going to pass the bread around like I'd like to do and break it, because some people don't want to do that. But we're going to pass the cup and the juice around, and we're going to take together as a family, is what he had as disciples of Christ. We're all disciples of Christ, and we're all on his mission, right, to seek and to save those who are lost. We all need his strength to go through that. So we'll pass out the elements, and then we'll go through that together. So this can be a time when you can reflect on your life and maybe pray for yourself, pray for those who don't know him, pray for a relationship to be even closer than it is. The night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he broke it and said, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat, remember for me. So let's take and eat, remembering his body was broken for us. And they passed around the cup. Said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Take and drink this in remembrance of me. So let's take and drink, remembering his blood was shed for us. Father, we thank you this day for being with us, for dying on the cross for us, for Jesus, for his example that he set for us, Forgiving is your word, be able to look at and live by. For giving us the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be strengthened, to be encouraged, and to be convicted when we do things that are wrong. Thank you for providing a way for us to live with you in eternity forever in heaven. For those who have gone before and those who will see again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born. He shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. Story of amazing love, the light of the world given for us. Son of God and Son of Man, there before the world began, born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave. Christ, the everlasting Lord, and he shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. Noel, Noel, the story of amazing love, the light of the world given for us. Noel. But you, Bethlehem, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over all of Israel. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and there will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. The light of the world given for us.
Dan, I think I turned this one off. This one on? Hello? Okay, it's working. What did we do before technology? Probably had a lot more simple life, didn't we? You need to watch all this. This is... I heard you played Xboxes, but anyway. Okay. Now we're all wired up this morning. Well, this is the third week of Advent. See the candles up here? They're lit. This is anticipation of Christ coming again. He's come already, right? Now he's going to come back again. It's our anticipation. And usually Advent talks about the things that happened during that time, what they did, what they expected. And we talked about hope. We have them on the wall over here, love. Now we're on joy this week. And some people think happiness and joy are the same thing. And I've talked about this a few years ago. We think sometimes happiness and joy are the same, but they're actually different. A place called Pathios.com differentiates it and says, happiness is a feeling and is influenced by circumstances. So happiness is based on how things go. If you had a good day, if you had a bad day, did I have problems today? Am I under stress? People treating me nicely? Do I feel loved and accepted? Do I have enough money, etc., etc.? If everything's going well, then you feel satisfied. Then you could say you're happy. Somebody says, are you happy? You go, yeah, I'm happy. Things are going really well. And then when something pops that balloon, the happiness goes away just that quick. You know, 1 minute you're happy about something, something happens, next thing I'm not happy anymore, I'm sad. You called me a name, or you said something that offended me, or I didn't like this that happened, or whatever it is. But joy, on the other hand, is not based on feelings. It's based on our relationship with Christ, and circumstances don't change joy. So there's a little slide up here that talks about that in small sense. But S.D. Gordon says, joy is distinctly a Christian word and a Christian thing. It's the reverse of happiness, because happiness is the result of what happens of an agreeable sort. Joy has its springs deep down inside, and that spring never runs dry no matter what happens. Only Jesus gives that joy. That's a pretty good word picture, isn't it? A spring that never runs dry. Brian's got one of those under his cabin. It runs under his cabin. He's got a spring that doesn't run dry. And if you're thirsty, if you're searching, if you're hungry, whatever it is, and there's a joy that never runs dry, that's what you need to have. When circumstances come about that we don't like or we can't control, and we're not feeling happy, we can still have joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Theopedia describes joy as a state of mind and an orientation of the heart. It's a settled state of contentment and confidence and hope. A settled state. That means it's not going to change. You've already settled that. Spurgeon says, there's a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful, but this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. This blessed joy is very contagious. One, dolorous, who knows what that means? Dolorous person? What? Yep. It means sad, sorrowful, unhappy, or depressed. One of those kind of spirits can bring a plague into the house. One person who is wretched seems to stop all the birds from singing wherever he or she goes. You ever have somebody walk in the room, you're like, oh, gee, they're here. Right? It's called a negative Nelly or whatever you want to call them. And every time you see them, the mood just kind of goes, people just kind of go, because they always talk about bad things. Oh, this happened, that's so bad, look at all this. And you're like, geez, couldn't you just have stayed home today? We have people like that that don't have joy. Their life is based on their happiness, what happens to them, and things that don't happen right, they're not happy. And they're going to tell everybody else they're not happy. And then when you're not happy, then they're happy you're not happy. It says, but the grace of joy is contagious. Holy joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. Holy joy will beautify you and give you an influence over others' lives. That's talking about the aroma of Christ, isn't it? We have the aroma of Christ, and that affects others. If somebody's happy and smiling and glad and things like that, even if you're in a bad mood, it kind of changes your mood where you feel a little bit better. And you can forget about that, whatever's happening. A
lot of times you go to a hospital, people are in a kind of a scary situation, not sure what's going to happen, how the surgery's going to go, whatever it is, and you're there with them, and you tell stories, and you laugh with them and things, and it kind of takes your mind off it for a while, and you have a little different perspective. Things aren't so bad after all. John Piper zeroes in on joy, unique to Christians. He says, Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul, produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the world and in the Word. So the Holy Spirit gives us joy, something we don't always naturally have. There's not a lot of naturally joyful people. There are some that are joyful, that are happy. My wife's like that a lot of times, especially with kids. She's like the kid magnet. Kids are doing all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, gee, I got to go get away or something. I can only take it so long. I don't know why. But I'll go work on something while she's playing with the kids and having fun, and they're throwing things and jumping up and down. I'm like, what is going on in there? Just the kids bouncing the ball, jumping, throwing things on the wall and whatever, and I just, okay. But she has that natural joy with kids. They just like her. She's always smiling, you know, all the time. Joyce has a good outlook on life, so she has a joy that's from the Holy Spirit. She doesn't like when I talk about her. But once I'm up here, she doesn't have any control over that. Kay Warren says, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, the determined choice to praise God in every situation. So think of your parents, if you're going through a rough time and your mom or dad comes up and says, it's going to be okay. Remember that feeling, what it's like? Somebody comes along and just tells you, it's going to be all right. We're going to get through this. We're going to make it. It's going to be fine. Determined choice to praise God in every situation. That means we choose to praise him. We make that choice, that determination. And I was asking myself the question as I was doing this, you think Jesus could have had joy on the cross because he had confidence and hope in what was to come? I think he probably did. He knew he was going to go through something, but he had joy knowing what was going to happen on the other side, what was going to be at the end of that. He could have had joy even through those circumstances when he was getting beat and nailed to the cross. He wasn't happy about it, but he had a joy knowing what the result was going to be. Joy is the reason why so many people are able to go through trying circumstances, and even the disciples went through a martyr's death because they have the confident assurance that the Lord's with them. And they know they're going to go to a better place when they leave here. Now, we think, oh, this is great, this is the best place, but we don't even have a glimpse, hardly, of heaven. You know, streets of gold and gates of pearls and all the things, it's hard to fathom what that is like. But this, I always said this before, this is the Christian's hell. This is as bad as it's going to get for the Christian that's here. Once you go to heaven, it's a miraculous place. But for a non-Christian, this is as good as it gets. It only gets worse after that. This is the non-Christian's heaven. And to me, this isn't a very good heaven with all the things happening, with all the things that are going on. But Jesus could go to the cross, as it says in Hebrews 12:2, for the joy that was set before him. Because he knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to come. He could go through the pain because he knew the joy of what his pain was going to go through was to pay for our sin. He was going to free us and offer us salvation. The joy of defeating sin and death. The joy of rising victorious. The joy of seeing those who receive him be saved from hell and spend eternity with him. We get a glimpse of that pain. Well, half of us do. When a pregnant woman goes through childbirth, for the joy set before them, they know the pain they're going through, but they know what the result is going to be of seeing that child. And if you have more than one, you go through it more than once, don't you? You know what that result's going to be. But the first time, you're like, I don't know what this is going to be like. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not really sure what's happening. Right, and then you have that pain, and then when it's done, then you have this little baby there. You say, man, for the joy set before me, it was worth it to have this little child. You can also see it for those who've had knee or joint replacements. The joy set before them, they know there's going to be pain going through that replacement, but they know that after it's done, they're going to have freedom to move and to walk around and not be restricted like they were before. I haven't had one of those, so I don't know what it's like, but I've talked to people that have had it, said the surgery is a different kind of pain, but when you're over it, You can't explain the difference that it makes, that that pain is not there anymore that you had before. Everybody's looking for joy, and marketing companies know this, don't they? Every commercial that you see out there says, you buy my hand cream, you're going to have joy, right? Sleep on this mattress, you're going to be joyful. Eat at this restaurant, drive this car, wear this dress or suit or whatever you have to wear. And the image is people that are filled with joy. Oh, look how amazing this is. Oh, I'm so joyful. They're actually not full of joy. They're full of happiness for the moment until they get the bill for what it cost to have that. Max Lucado says that everyone wants joy and everyone promises to give us joy. But can anyone deliver it? They may give you happiness for a while, but can they give you joy? Joy comes from inside. The Bible talks about joy a lot of times. It talks about him wanting his children to be filled with joy, just like a father wants his baby to laugh with glee and be excited and have fun. The joy offered by God is different than the one promised by the car dealer or the shopping mall, because God doesn't want to put a temporary smile on your face. He wants to put a deposit in your heart. A deposit is different, isn't it? Because a deposit is something that you put there. You leave. You don't just keep putting in, take it out, put in, take it out. What's a deposit in your heart for you to have? He doesn't want you to have something shallow that's going to melt away with adversity, but something that'll stay there through no matter what happens. You'll have a joy. He offers a deep-seated, heartfelt, honest-to-goodness, strong sense of joy that can weather the most difficult storms. And as we go through circumstances, we kind of build up that, don't we? We kind of go through things and know what's going to happen. Peter referred to this kind of joy. In 1 Peter 1:8 and 9, he says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you did not see him, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the end, the result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Who's Peter talking to? He's talking to the Christians that were there, the God's chosen, the ones who'd been scattered around from their homes. They've been to Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Those have been persecuted. They've been driven out of their cities, separated from families. Their rights have been taken, their property taken, their possessions taken, their futures taken, but their joy wasn't taken. And why wasn't it taken? 1 Peter 1:8. You've never seen Jesus and you don't see him now, but you still love him and have faith in him. And the source of your joy is Jesus, not your possessions. Sometimes we try to put our joy in our possessions, don't we? Something happens or we lose it, then we lost our joy. No, you lost your happiness. You don't have to lose your joy over something. That's called contingent joy. Contingent joy is dependent on your circumstances. It's based on something else. That's when you say, well, I'll be happy or joyful if. I'll be happy if I have a new house. I'll be happy if I have a new spouse. I'll be happy if I'm healed or when I'm home. Depends on your circumstances that you don't have control over. So you set yourself up for disappointment if your joy is based on those things. Think about the person who buys into the lie of contingent joy. So maybe you're a young person, say, well, if I just get a car, I'll be happy. I'll be joyful. Then you get your bill for your insurance, your gas, your repairs, your tires, and you're not really happy anymore, right? If I just get married, I'll be happy. Unless you married the wrong person. Your spouse cannot give you lasting joy. They can give you happiness. They can't give you lasting joy. That comes from the Lord. By the time you reach old age, if your joy is contingent, you're on a roller coaster of life, up and down. Happy and sad, happy and sad, happy and sad. And then you turn into a wounded person. You ever try to deal with a wounded animal? They're dangerous, aren't they? Because they lash out. They're hurt. Sometimes people lash out because they're hurt. Not because of anything against us, but because they've been hurt. But how do you deal with that? How do you deal with an animal, let's say a dog that's been wounded, that's kind of mean? You just put your hand right in there? No, you're going to get bit, aren't you? You just a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. You just express that love and joy to that little dog. A little bit, a little treat here, right? And as you go on, it takes time to help that animal to be healed from what they've been through. Same with people. When they've been wounded because of contingent joy, it takes a long time for us help that person see what true joy and true love is. But you don't give up, especially if it's one of your own kids, right? That may have been hurt through a relationship. And you want to see healing come into their life. But the joy of the Lord turns us into strong people. The joy that sets the hope of the heart on Jesus and Jesus alone. Because no one can take away your Christ. No one can take away your faith. Can failure take away your joy? No, because Jesus is greater than your sin. Can betrayal take away your joy? No, because Jesus will never leave you. Can sickness take your joy? No, because God promised, whether on this side of the grave or the other, you'll be healed. Can disappointment take away your joy? No, because though your plan may not work out, God's plan will. Death, failure, betrayal, sickness, disappointment can't take away your joy because they can't take away your Jesus. He says in John 16, 22, no one will take away your joy. He's talking to his people. So is that to say you're never going to have storms of life? Never going to be sad? Never going to be sorrowful? No, but he says in John 16, 20, your grief will turn to joy. The early Christians were joyful Christians. It sounds redundant, doesn't it? Joyful Christian, because we should be joyful as Christians. You don't say a dead cadaver. You don't say wet water, right? Because you take it for granted, it's already going to be wet. They're already dead. But when you say Christian, you should think, ideally, they're going to be joyful. So you'd say joyful for our benefit. So you need to assess your level of joy. Are you joyless? Are you a pessimist? Or do you have hope that God's going to answer all your questions and all your problems? Grimness is not a Christian virtue. So don't give in to despair. John 15, 11, Jesus says, I've told you this so your joy may be complete. So be open to the possibility of joy from heaven. If you're sad, maybe you're not feeling good, something's not going right, God can still give you joy through that circumstance. It may just take time. It may take effort. You may have to go through a hard situation to get there. Remember the night Jesus was born, the shepherds in the field, watching their flocks, and an angel appealed and said, don't be afraid. Why? Because I bring you the most joyful news ever announced, and it's for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem. That's Luke 2, 10, 11, Living Bible. It says, the most joyful news ever announced. That is joyful news, isn't it, for us? We need to let others know about that joyful news that's announced. He gives a joy that can allow us to go through any circumstance and look forward to the day when we actually go home. Because this isn't our home. We're just visiting. We're headed home someday. But we need to have a joy that's contagious that we can pass on to others. Hopefully more contagious than COVID, right? We can spread that joy to everybody. Everybody gets it. And it's a good thing, not a bad thing. No matter what they're going through, we can give them the joy of the Lord. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, then you should have that joy. And we just pray that the Lord fills our lives with joy today so we can fill lives of others with joy as well. So let's pray. Father, thanks for this day this morning. Being with us, be with all these requests, Lord, that we heard this morning, all these different situations. There's just a gamut of different things that are going on in people's lives. But help us, Lord, even through these circumstances, to be joyful. It doesn't mean we're jumping around and raising our hands and we're shouting, but it means we have a joy of the Lord, knowing things are going to be okay. We have a love and a peace and a happiness that only comes from you, not based on circumstances, but based on who you are and what you've done for us. So Lord, help us to be contagious Christians today. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. In your name, amen.
Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is mine. Jesus, your name will reign.
Jesus, your name is love. Jesus, your name is healing. Jesus, your name gives life. Jesus, your name will free every captive. Jesus, your Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is might. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is love.
That Jesus came over 2,000 years ago. He brought all that with him. As Pastor said, take your joy that we have as believers and share that and let other people know that this week. Been good to see you. Thank you.